We're going to talk some NFL here, and we'll start with the real NFL franchise in New York. The New York Football Giants close up the preseason last night with a barn-burning performance.
A riveting.
I think, if you weren't watching the Giants-Patriots preseason game last night, you don't know anything about good sports.
You know, it's funny because everybody probably in Boston was actually watching this game because most of them have nothing better to do.
Well, they're certainly not watching the Red Sox.
They got to be sitting there at 6-3 when the final whistle blows, saying, we just can't beat these guys. There's nothing that we can do. We can try to score a million points, which, you know, if you look at the two Super Bowls on a bit of a digression, the amount of points the Patriots were unable to score is really remarkable compared to how they usually just pile them on.
Right, the differential between, you know, the standard deviation was absurd.
Right, but listen, Eli looked all right last night for the 2.76 seconds he was in the game. The team, you want to leave him in more?
No. I actually was surprised he played as long as he did and wouldn't have played him that long. I would have put him in the game long enough to throw one completion to Knicks and then gotten them both out. I mean, like, as soon as that completion was done, it's like 2nd and 6. All right, car's coming in. Pull you.
Yeah.
I don't think they looked great last night, but it's the fourth preseason game, so it's not like I'm going to really freak out about, oh, they didn't look great against the Patriots'
right.
Second defense with 4/5 of their offensive line, no starting running back, and whatever.
And I think there's a dynamic, even when the first team is out in preseason, that gets overlooked by fans a lot of times. It's very similar to when you look at a young star, up-and-coming pitcher, a Patances or Benuelos, the elusive two Yankee prospects, and you look at their numbers in the minors, and you're like, that doesn't look, you know, you'd imagine before you bring a guy up that you want him to go 15-0 with a 1.26.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, right, and if you look at Matt Harvey's, and we'll get to him later, his Buffalo numbers weren't fantastic, but you're overlooking the fact that there's probably times, you know, that his idea that they're sending him out saying, dude, we've been working on your curveball, that's your third best pitch.
Right.
Go out and throw 60% curveballs today. See how you can, you know. So the Giants are in there tweaking stuff. They're not, again,
right.
they're probably force feeding some balls to Knicks that
ain't
Eli
nobody
wouldn't
throw. Game planning for the preseason.
Right.
Right. Like it's not like the Giants are like studying the Patriots' second team defense looking for where they can pick them apart.
Well, you know,
they're going out there to do what they need to do to tune themselves up.
Exactly.
And to hell with what the Patriots
Eli,
are doing.
You know, you talked about Eli and Knicks. They hadn't had much time. I'm sure Eli is force feeding some balls to
right.
Knicks. The goal isn't look for the number one, you know, the most open guy. It's, you know, try to get a little rapport over here, see what we're going, you know, try to test. You're testing out the vehicle. You're not actually really driving it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when people say, oh, the offense, the Jets, I think, are a bit different. I think the Jets are, aside from holding back on the Wildcat, trying to drive the car a little bit.
I tell you,
and it's just not going anywhere.
The Jets need to be picking apart the third and fourth team defenses of whomever they play this weekend, just so that, you know, they can get in the friggin' end zone.
Right.
But just get that off the
you
board.
You know, the Giants are in the driver's seat, and they're flicking on the lights and saying, okay, the lights work. You know, they're turning on the radio.
Right.
Okay, the radio works. They're not actually going out there and putting it on 85 on the highway and really going full throttle. So I don't really put much stake in it, nor do I really care that the Giants only could score 3. As a matter of fact, it's good to see that Larry Tynes is on point.
Larry
one.
Friggin' Tynes, I'm telling you. I mean, he's not as good as Drew Weatherford, but...
not as good as Steve Weatherford
there
either.
There you go.
If you haven't tuned into the past Two Guys, One Mic podcasts,
I
have a
why
problem.
I trouble with it.
Drew Weatherford in my mind, and
yeah,
I can't get it out.
His name is Steve.
You know what would be really...
His name has been Steve for as long as he's existed.
As a sports talk show host, it'd be really embarrassing if I just called him like Dave Manning, and I just, you know, if it was like a high-profile guy, I just was like, yo, it's Jaquan Manning every time.
That's right. Jaquan. Everyone's giving you a pass because they're like, who cares about
whatever,
Weatherford?
It's a punter, yeah.
By the way, Weatherford for MVP.
He's great. He really is.
He is. I'm telling you, I get going on this because punters don't get a lot of recognition and most of them don't deserve any at all. Steve Weatherford is legitimately a huge, important piece of the New York Giants. And I say the word huge, understanding what it means.
No,
I'm not
listen.
Overselling it. He is important to the team.
It's funny. You'll see certain fan bases that that really take pride and understand the value of certain things. You know, the Giants, the Ravens love defense. You know, their fans understand. The Giants fans understand the value of a punter. You'll talk to like an Oakland Raider fan. They're like, oh, the punter. Who cares about the punter? He's just a punter. He's pansy. He's not even a member of the team. If you talk to 75-80% of the Giants, they'll be like Giants fans. They'll say, man, listen, Feagles was fantastic. Dodge was the worst thing that's ever happened to us. Weatherford is great. He's good at pinning stuff. Like, they know.
Right.
They
like know. The field position.
Exactly.
That,
the field position
that Feagles
game.
Did and Weatherford does win is, I mean, it's unbelievably
it's
important.
It's because Coughlin is big into field position, you know, and he's kind of instilled that not only within the team, but as in, you know, throughout his tenure, it's become instilled within the fan base.
Right. I think it's also got something to do with the fact that the Giants haven't seen good special teams in about 30 years. So when he got that punter to hang our hat on and be like, yeah,
because exactly. We don't have
third
a punt
side
returner.
Of the ball that we are just, yeah, we're lighting it up on that punting board. We can't return one, but we can punt it good.
It also helps, you know, that if you pin him within the three, you know, Giants fans have a legitimate hope of a safety.
Of a safety, right. Well, that safety in the Super Bowl
was gigantic.
That was Steve Weatherford pinned him deep. Somehow they got some coverage, and after 48 seconds, Tuck was able to get in there and get that safety done.
And then do his weird Asian touchdown.
By the way, did you like that call? Did you think that was the right call, the
yes,
safety there?
I
did
it was
too.
Absolutely the right call.
I did too. The refs did a good job there. Speaking of the refs, your boys.
My boys.
Your boys. Really, my boys.
I've been a big fan of Zebras the whole time.
They're gonna start. The replacement refs are going to start week one. We had it out on this program a couple weeks ago. I think it's not a huge deal. You seem to think it is
deal.
The end of the universe.
Did you watch the
Dude,
Giants?
They haven't done a bad
did
job.
Did you watch the Giants-Bears game?
Yes.
Did you notice there were multiple occasions in which Eli used a hard count, which is one of Eli is a fantastic hard count quarterback.
Right.
Eli used the hard count to draw the defense offsides, and he was called for false starts.
Right.
Multiple times.
Right.
That can't
That was
happen.
A mistake. You're absolutely
That's
right.
Huge.
No,
That's
no, no, you're absolutely
yards.
Right. But that was the third
That's a
time.
10-yard swing.
That was the third preseason game. The refs are getting better. And honestly, I've watched way too much preseason.
I don't want to hear the refs are getting better.
No, hang on. I've watched way too much preseason. I really think the refs have done a fine job. They have done a good job. They're going to be fine. And it's not like this is going to be the problem, because it's not like the regular refs didn't make all sorts of mistakes. The problem is going to be every single bad call, the slightest bad call, is going to get torn apart in the media, by you,
and
by
it should, and
everybody.
It should.
But like every time is like a false start. No, it should have been encroachment. We're going to spend 12 hours talking about why that should have been encroachment,
and, you know what?
And these refs are awful.
I am
that stuff
be,
happened
I am
all
going,
the time.
I know it did, and it will when we get the good refs back.
Right.
But I will be extra aggressive, because you need extra public pressure
See,
on Roger
gonna,
Goodell to end this embarrassment.
That's right. You're going to be extra aggressive, not because there's a need, because these guys are doing especially
they're,
poor.
Yes, there is. If,
oh,
they're, if, they're
stop
fine,
it.
If they're fine, if they're just, if I watch that game and impartially say, you know, they made three or four mistakes, but those are mistakes that are made anyway, then
yeah.
I'm not really going to complain. But if there's
but
six
but you're
or
not,
seven
but
mistakes,
my point is you're not
going to
do that.
Egregious.
You're going every time there's a mistake, you're going to jump on it and say that replacement ref.
That's exactly
that
you
is
know,
my best Pierce Bricks.
It's pretty good.
Now.
It's pretty good. You didn't get the vibrato within the blah blah blah, but for the most part, you aced it. No, listen, there should be additional outcry, because this is an embarrassment. It is a joke.
Not.
It is ridiculous.
It is not.
Roger Goodell should be ashamed of himself
I would say
letting this happen.
If these guys manage to not fumble their way through the announcements, like if they can just bring it strong to the mic, they'll be fine, and no one would be able to tell the difference. The problem's going to be the only clear distinction you're going to be able to make between the fake refs and the real refs is that, you know, occasionally a guy's going to be like, offsides on number 32 on Arizona.
No, that's not
the defense.
Case. First of
that's
all,
gonna, the only, that's going to be the only thing is
first
that he's going to flub
not,
the
I'm
mic.
I'm going to be looking for Ed Hockley's guns. I'm not going to see him. That's a discernible difference. Secondly, these guys have been inept. The players have noticed. The coaches have noticed. I heard Brian Billick on Colin Cowherd's show the other day say that he would coach his team differently because of these refs and the way they've been officiating. Because
they haven't been calling pass interference.
He would
as much.
Go and try to expose them because they're terrible. Listen, if you want to call pass interference less, that's fine with me.
Yeah, it's good
I
for
think
you.
That's a rule change that should happen. But that's not the point. The point is when they're missing bad calls. Again, I hearken back to this Eli Manning situation. If you're telling me that the Giants have to wean off the hard count because the refs are too inept to understand the difference between a hard count and a false start, that's terrible because that is
right.
5 to 10 yards a game.
I don't think you're going to see that. I think they're going to be fine, and the only difference that you're going to notice is they're not going to be as experienced on the mic, and the big problem is going to come from the fact that everyone is just going to scream and yell every time they make the slightest mistake, even though those mistakes are the same that were made by the other refs. I think they've done a fine job, not a great job, but I think they've done a fine job, and they're going to be fine.
That's fine. Listen, next Thursday, when we're coming in, hopefully celebrating a New York Giant victory, you are going to agree that that game, and
look,
you know what? It'll be
you
even
and
worse
I should
if we're
welcome,
talking about a defeat.
You and I should welcome new refs. Maybe the Giants will get a freaking call.
It's a good point if you harken back to that Green Bay Packer game, to be specific.
Right?
The Giants
are going to damn call
listen,
now.
It's unbelievable, but I'm telling you right now, there will be a call that will affect the game negatively on Wednesday. We'll talk about it on Thursday.
It doesn't matter. Look, real games start next week. You said it right there. Games tonight. College game starts tonight.
I can't wait for
big
it.
Big weekend this week. I'm a Michigan fan. So Michigan-Alabama this weekend's big for me. I'm not optimistic, but it is big for me. Need to see Denard Robinson throwing those sky balls off his back foot all season. It's gonna be great.
You know, it's funny. Not often do I say I can't wait for the Cox tonight, but I cannot wait for the South Carolina Gamecocks to take the field tonight against Vanderbilt.
We haven't been talking about football for the past 30 seconds.
I can't wait because the reason I hate the preseason and I begrudgingly watch the Giants just because I feel obligated and I have to talk about it a little bit when we get here is it's such an empty emotion, you know?
There's no fight there.
It's like
there's no worry.
Occasionally on Sunday afternoon baseball on Fox, they'll come back without the baseball. I don't know if they do it on purpose or if the guy just messed up and hit the wrong button, but like two times a year, they'll come back with the NFL theme. And your ears perk up, and you're like, and you're like, no, is it happening? It's not.
It's the St. Louis Cardinals
versus the Cubs.
Yeah,
still.
It's April.
But yeah, you know, so you get that. It's
the
such
real
an empty
football
emotion.
Starts
so this,
tonight.
Exactly. I can at least at the end of the day be like, all right, one of these teams is a legitimate 1-0, and the other one is 0-1, and that affected something, and that's
so
great.
College ball. Let's get right to it. Who's your national champion?
My national champion, and it's funny because this will probably be all for naught by the end of the weekend.
You going Penn State?
I'm going with the Nittany Lions on a just amazing story. I'm going with the Michigan Wolverines.
Really?
I think they win on Saturday, which is a huge.
You think they win the national championship?
If you win,
that'd be awesome.
It would be fantastic. Listen, Russell Wilson is no longer in Wisconsin. Ohio yep. State is rebuilding
mm-hmm.
and probably won't be playing with too much fervor, being that
they're not going anywhere.
Exactly. They have these sanctions. They're still obviously going to try to beat Michigan in the final week of the season. If they beat Alabama, the Big Ten is competitive enough that they'll get
that they can get there.
Exactly. Yet it's going to be a bit of a down season for the team. Listen, Kirk Cousins is no longer at Michigan
mm-hmm.
State. There's been a lot of turnover at the quarterback position from the elite teams in the Big Ten.
Dude, you better hope they win on Saturday.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah.
Otherwise, that's it.
It's over. Right.
His entire pick is. I'm going USC. I just think.
Ooh, that's a dangerous pick,
I know,
Joby.
I know. I'm going preseason
Stop
number
it.
One. I've never subscribed to you know, go off board just because you should go off board. Pick what you actually think is going to happen. And I actually think
USC's
fine, got the best team.
When we do our NFL preview next week and you tell them, well, rookie of the year, I'm going Andrew Luck. Like, all right, thanks.
No,
I'll be going Aaron Rodgers. Like, all right, good radio. Obvious Talk. Well, that should be the name of our show coming up on Sundays.
Obvious talk
with Joe B.
By the way, if you didn't know, which nobody knows, Brixie and I are getting our own show Sunday mornings. Name to come. But, all right, so you got Michigan, my Wolverines. Let's hope. Love to see that.
Listen, they're good, man. And the reason that I'm picking them is obviously I think the road is a little bit easier. As I said, if they can beat Alabama, it's easier than the SEC road. And with Denard Robinson, you have the speed threat that the SEC brings to the table. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I harken back to a couple years ago, the last time, you know, the Buckeyes made the national championship and they were supposed to beat Florida, and they just didn't have the speed for it. It was a shock, and that was the beginning of the SEC's dominance. I think that Michigan does have the speed to contend in a neutral site at a national championship.
Right. All right. I go off board with USC. College football starts tonight. You heard it here first. Pierce Bricks is excited for the Cocks. It's 104.5 The Team. It's Two Guys, One Mike.